Greetings, everyone. I'd love for you to open your Bible to that wonderful book called Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Be sure to take out your outline. I have some outline. If this is by far the most, but I was stingy. There was a lot of verses. I got to have pages and pages for this one. You will find that out in a moment when I give you the number of times these words were used. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'd rather you tell me the positive element and I will try to strive to do that which is righteous, godly, and good. But when we do it the way Proverbs lined it out, we can't do that. He's putting a contrast or juxtaposition between the two, the righteous and the wicked, the wise and the fool, those who chose the fear of the Lord versus foolishness and folly. And the reason is that we need to see the distinction. Now, here's the thing you got to be careful with. Too often when we hear the words that are used for these people, we instantly sometimes have a tendency to think much more higher about ourselves than we should. Instead of asking ourselves, okay, in this particular topic, am I a fool? Do I dwell or resemble more of the character traits of the wicked? That's why I work hard to bring about not only the name, the words that God used to help with the clarity of precision of the words that were used that reflect the character of these people, but their character traits and what it looks like in all of these verses, it to help us to examine our hearts, take a look, and to wash our hearts, examine our hearts, and to use these studies on the topics of Proverbs to ask ourselves, you know, in this area, I'm leaning more toward the life of folly than wisdom. I need to make some changes here because I see this, and this, which is not the marks of a godly person or the person that fears the Lord or walking in wisdom. I need to move over and make them adjustment, confess, repent, and make changes. So, all throughout Proverbs, this contrast is constantly there. We've been touching on it. It is implied in every topic we've dealt with. I have chosen to bring it out and make it explicitly clear to all of us. You should be in Proverbs 10. I have chosen. What was unique about this particular topic was there were several large chunks. I chose to refrain from doing an exposition on each one, else we would never get out of here. So I'm using each point as a touchstone and doing what I've been traditionally doing so far. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 27 to 32. They are in your list of outlines that I put in there if you want to look at there. The fear of the Lord prolong days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Now you want to see the continual every verse contrast. The hope of the righteous will be gladdened, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the righteous bring forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. Let's pray. Father, be with us tonight. Help us, guide us, and lead us. Help us to understand these are serious issues that we need to examine our hearts with. Go off and we out of hand dismiss, we are not among the wicked. But we do act wickedly at times, whether by the things we say, things we do, or the things we don't do. It reflects itself in areas that is surprising that Proverbs addresses. The Lord help us to be attentive and use your word as the touchstone for which we must examine our hearts and lives. In Christ's name, amen. What I have chosen to do throughout the book of Proverbs, especially in this section, chapter 10 through the end of Proverbs, to use four words for the righteous and four words for the wicked. The first part is dealing with the character trait of the righteous. There are four words, and that is the word righteous, upright, and two different Hebrew words that have been translated the word blameless. The word righteous was used 66 times in Proverbs alone. It means to be just, to be morally lawful in conduct and in character. The word upright was used 25 times. It means to be straight or just. The idea here is like, you know, the old thing, why are you so straight? Why are you such a goody-two-shoe? Okay? But the idea of straight is using the term that is a good term. When somebody says, man, why are you so straight? They thank you for the compliment. Because you let what they admitted to, but don't know the word, is you're an upright person. That's what the word upright means. It means you're straight. You're straight in the light of what's right. According to the law, the word of God, in the context of Proverbs, you're right and straight on the path that God had established. You're just. The first word that was used for blameless, it's used six times, and it's the idea of living a life that had no blemishes, no glaring blemishes, without spot. Doesn't mean perfection, doesn't mean there's nothing there, but you live a consistent life that when people examine your life, that's why the word is used, blameless. You cannot stick them for something. The second word for blameless was a different Hebrew word. It was used seven times, and it speaks to the idea of a person of integrity and uprightness. And a lot of these words overlap, but they are distinct Hebrew words that God had chosen to use to give us to understand the differences as well as the overlapping connectedness between these words. The noticeable character traits of the righteous from this verse list, from these verses, plus I had others that I was looking at because I was doing the word study off of these and trying to find things that would tip me off. What are these people like? And you cannot call yourself a righteous person unless you manifest some of these things. I had went to every single verse to look at what are the distinctive character traits of this person that speak of the righteous, the upright, and the blameless. They live righteously. No, well, that's a given. You can't be righteous and not live righteously. But let them state the obvious, because it states them. In their speech, they use their speech not to slander, but to be a blessing, to be pleasant, to be encouraging. They also use their speech. It's one thing to try to pursue wisdom. It's another thing to attain wisdom and to be able to impart wisdom to others. This person is a person who not only used their live in the path of wisdom, they can articulate wisdom to others. They consider the needs of the poor. They're compassionate people. They fear the Lord and they walk in the way of the Lord. We see that in Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. Now, what I love about that particular verse is the fact that let me finish the verse. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poured forth evil. In other words, the wicked will just pour out whatever they jolly well want to say, whatever they feel at the moment, and it's usually for self gratification. Maybe they want to knock somebody down. Maybe they want to hurt somebody. But when it comes to the heart of the righteous, they will study and use their speech to find the truth. They will study the issue out and will come to help to be a blessing, not the problem. They will not try to be one who overthrow, causes turmoil and strife. They want to heal. They want to restore. They want to encourage. That's why they study to get the answer that into the right path. Not to get even, not to undercut, not to wittingly use their tongue to lash and hurt people. Righteous people don't do that. People who are in this category don't follow that path. Proverbs 10:29, the way of the Lord is strength for the upright. So they live and walk in the way of the Lord. And in walking in that way, that it gains them cumulative strength for the upright. They are people who are upright. They're blameless people of principle. And they sow righteousness. Proverbs 11:18, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. Now I'm only reading part of the verse because when I get to the wicked, I want to just focus on what it says in that verse regarding the wicked. But here we are talking about the righteous. Their lifestyle and their manner of life is not only a blessing to others, but in Proverbs 11:20, they are a delight to the Lord. Can you imagine the infinitely holy one to live in such a way that we are an actual delight to him? But it says that in Proverbs 11:20. But the blameless in their ways are his delight. Now, the word his is the Lord, because he was just talking about the wicked man who was an abomination to the Lord. But those who are blameless in their ways and their life are a delight to the Lord. That's what these people are. They live their life and pattern their life, not what others think and what others think they ought to do. They live and pattern their life to be pleasing and a delight to the Lord. They are kind to others. But here's one of the unique surprises. And if you read Proverbs much, you should have, and it could have caught your attention as well. Certainly did mine in the early days when I started reading my Proverbs. And that is, not only are they kind to people, but their kindness extends to their animals. Said that in Proverbs 12:10, a righteous man regards the life of his animal. Now, you have to understand, it's a little different in this era than the era in which we lived. It was a farm community. Usually you had animals to do your work. Righteous people care and make sure they're taken care of and they're fed and protected and on goes. Where that very thing Bert talked about, and I thought this was really insightful. But the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Now think of the language there. When they are at their tender moments, in comparison to the righteous, their treatment of animals is cruel. Cruel. They beat on their animals. They hurt their animals when they don't cooperate they are animals. But the righteous people even regard the life of an animal. Another thing that I saw often was that the fact that the term, and I know a lot of people instantly, every time I mention what I'm about to say, they'll even instantly go back to the discussion that the Lord had with the rich young ruler. And that is, Proverbs talked about these people are good people. And I want to use the term, they are good in a general sense, not in the absolute sense. Nobody is infinitely perfectly good. We know that. But they are good people. They're wholesome people. They're always looking out for others. They're looking out for their animals, looking out for the poor, and caring and taking care of their business. And they're doing it in a way that that upright and decent and blameless. They don't use your tongue to hurt and slander and misrepresent people. They do not use your tongue, but to use it to in a wholesome way, in a way that helps and encourages, and so on and so forth. But not only are these good people in a general sense, not in the ultimate sense, they are people of prayer. People of prayer, real prayer, not just fake hypocritical prayer, real prayer. They seek the Lord and they pursue righteousness. Distinctive mark of the righteous. Those three things. A person of prayer, they seek the Lord and pursue righteousness. You see that in Proverbs 15, verse 8 and 9. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. But he loved him who followed righteousness. Another thing, and you know, we've been doing all the positive attributes of the righteous, but another thing that the righteous will not and cannot tolerate is lying. They loathe it. They hate lying in all of its forms. They do not like people who are unjust. They are people who will not yield to the plan and scheme of the wicked. Clearly, they will not cave into that. Listen to this verse. This is a very troubling verse in a sense, but please understand the message that's here. Proverbs 25:26. A righteous man who falters before the wicked is like a murky spring and a polluted well. Why is that important? Well, your well and spring is where your well is your drinking water for your family, and the spring is the drinking water for your animals. A righteous man, a godly man, an upright man, a blameless man, when they falter and cave in to the schemes and the plans of the wicked, they're like these. Murky spring and a water, drinking water that is polluted. Not good. Not good. Not good. So those are the basic benchmark and character trait that we learn of what is the character traits of the righteous in the words that were used throughout. You're going to see it over and over and over. Now we're in point number two, where we're going to turn our attention to the character traits of the wicked. This time I had written down there next to that second point, Proverbs 11, verse 18 through 21. You can open it up and look it on your sheet. Proverbs 11, 18 through 21, it said this: the wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their way are his delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. The four different words that I have found throughout the book of Proverbs that was common for the synonyms and interacting with the person of the wicked, and that is the word wicked, the word iniquity, the word perverse, and the word violence. The word wicked was used 77 times in Proverbs alone. 77 times. It means to be ungodly and guilty as a sinner. Why do I use the term guilty as a sinner rather than a sinner? Because these are not just sinners by nature, they're sinners by action, and by their action they have been proven guilty. You're not guilty until you act out the sin within the heart. That's what that word is. These are people who are proactive in creating problems, issues, and mischief that is contrary to the will of God and to the Word of God. Then you have the word iniquity, used 10 times. It is a person who is given to mischief and troublemaking that causes pain and sorrow, that is unjust in their dealing with others, whether it's a transaction or bartering or whatever they were doing at those times. They are unjust in their part. The word perverse, it's used 9 times, which simply means twisted, or that which is contrary to reality or the truth. They will, by their lifestyle or by their speech, utter falsehood or twistedness or perversity. They will say, this is the will of God, which is not true because it's just the opposite of what the Bible does say or what the word of the Lord does say. They use their tongue or life to twist and distort God's purpose and design. This is vital in the world in which we live. We have a lot of perverted people today. And too often we just think of the extreme aspect of twisted and perverted people. Anybody who deviates from the truth and encourage others to do so is perverted. What do I mean? Whenever you distort God's purpose and design for marriage to incorporate and also include same-sex marriage, you have perverted God's purpose and design, whether it's the institution of marriage or the lifestyle of sexuality or issue about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And life goes on, and a lot of other issues, and more now than ever because we got unregenerate people who have no regard for the Word of God and do everything that which is perspective in their own mind. But let me remember what the Bible said. Certainly Proverbs, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Used in the language of Joshua, everybody did that which was right in their own eyes, not in the eyes of the Lord. That's my paraphrase at the end, all right? The reason why there were so many relapses and problems in the book of, Judges, was the people constantly cycled through wanting their way, didn't like their way, the fruit of their way, asked God to help, God intervened, recovered, victory, peace for a while, and relapsed 7 different times. These people are perverse. They will distort God's design. For example, your tongue was meant to glorify and praise the Lord, the Creator. Your tongue was meant to use to edify and encourage, rebuke if necessary, but in the spirit of love. Not to use for evil purposes. Not to slander and gossip and malign and misrepresent. Not to try to behind the scene and try to get in people's heads and to give them a perspective that's false, wrong, and wicked in the doing so. That is a perverse person. You don't want to go there. The next word is the word violent. This word was used 7 times in Proverbs. It speaks of a person who is cruel, who's an oppressor. They operate on right. Might makes right. Survival of the fittest wins. That's their M.O. They are given to injustice. They don't care what they're doing. As long as they can get their way and they use force, violence, oppression, they can use the law falsely. Laws were given to punish the wicked, not to encourage the wicked. So in those words that were the common 4 main words throughout Proverbs for the wicked, some of the noticeable character traits of the wicked from our verse list are the following. They use their tongue to stir up strife, falsehood, and violence in others. The words they always seem to use are fighting words. They're always stirring up the pot. They don't want to heal. And you know what? There are people that just can't live a life of peacefulness. They got to always be riled up. They can't seem to live a normal people life of tranquility and calmness. But here they use their tongue. That's a common thing. They use their tongue to do this. Proverbs 10, verse 20. The heart of the wicked is little worth. We see from a moral perspective, their heart is worthless and little to no value at all. From God's perspective, and they're really, people like this are no good. But yet, people will defend them, support them, especially if they're family. They'll say, well, you know, they're family. No, you are to correct people when they are wrong. You do not strengthen them and enable them to continue their sinfulness and their wickedness and their folly by enabling them. That's why you be careful what you say. You can say, I love you, but I don't approve what you're doing. What you're doing is wrong and you need to change. I'm here to support you, but I'm not here to support that or this or whatever. There's always a lot of coercion going on to force people to change their Christian principles. But it said, like I said, Proverbs 10:20, the heart of the wicked is worth little. Why is it? Think about what a wicked person thinks in their heart day in and day out all day long. Evil, sin, selfishness, me, me, me. It's all about me, what I want, what I think, it's all about what I want. Instead of studying to know the answer and the truth that the righteous will do. Here to Gibbon. They live a life of wickedness. No surprise there. That's why they're called the wicked, right? They are wicked, but they're wicked because they're unfaithful to God. You don't become wicked and love God. You become wicked when you reject God. When you choose not the fear of the Lord. When you choose to do your thing in your way and what you want to do. They are unfaithful to God and they are unjust toward others. They have evil desires. And here, I have a note, they are cruel to animals. I already read that verse to you. Their tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Here's one for you. Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. But a good man will be satisfied from above. Now, there's the word we haven't heard in a while. A backslider. What in the world is a backslider? Man, I used to hear that forever, but I didn't really know whether I knew what it was supposed to mean and the way it was used all the time. But when you do a word study, it is a word that speaks of someone who had turned their back on God. They have, instead of faith in God and pursuing God, they have turned their back on God and slid away from Him. Here lies the term backslider. They are apostates. They are deserters. They are unfaithful first and foremost to the Lord. And as a result of rejecting the Lord and rejecting His moral command and His moral demands, they are unjust in dealing with others. When you deny the existence of God and when you are ever so foolish to think that God doesn't exist, when the most fundamental reality in all of life is the existence of a supreme being who created all things, if you deny that, there's something really wrong. But it's not a mental problem. It's a heart problem. Clearly we see that from Psalm 14:1. It is because their hearts are corrupt. And they love their sin. Initially, people don't see it that way, but that's fundamentally right. When you look at what the Word of God has to say again and again and again, the reason why they say no to God and say God doesn't exist, or I don't want Him to exist, because their hearts are corrupt. Psalm 14:1 and on. Bible even says that God's creation and handiwork is so clearly seen, they are without excuse. They don't want the evidence. They want their sin. Why is it that when you have the greatest truth and the greatest light living on the planet 2,000 years ago in the Lord Jesus Christ, and rather than coming to the light and coming to Christ, they refuse to come to Him? Why? Because they love darkness more than light, because their deed would be reproved and exposed in coming to the light. This is the backslider. These wicked people, when you look at this list, their sinful lifestyle and thoughts make even their religious service or sacrifice an abomination to the Lord. They are clearly hypocrites. They'll go through the motions of being religious, that deceptive. Whenever you play the role of a hypocrite, you're a liar and a deceiver. You're trying to present to people a model of who you are that you're not. But God knows. How do I know that? The one passage that you really want to have is Proverbs 15, verse 8 and 9. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. And what we're talking about is not sacrificing for the family, sacrificing and working hard. We're talking about sacrificing to the Lord an offering. And God is saying, here is a wicked and godless man coming under the pretension of loving me and worshiping me and praising me and offering me a sacrifice when their whole life recoiled to who I am. That's why God said it is an absolute abomination to Him. And I've said to you, the word abomination, it really is an idea of, it's repulsive. I have illustrated in the past that this was kind of one of those things that was engaging the olfactory scent, the scent, the smell, and they're smelling something that just, whoa, my goodness, that's absolutely repulsive. That's what the word abomination means here. When they see this sacrifice and they go through all the pretentious, say the right words and, oh, how I love God, and God knows their heart, He knows their life, their sacrifice is hypocrisy and an abomination. It doesn't stop there. But the prayer of the upright is His delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but He loved him who followed righteousness. That's why I put the two verses together, because they're tied in together. Their sacrifice to the Lord is an abomination. Why? Because the way of the wicked is an abomination to Him. They came with dirty hands, not holy hands. They came with dirty hearts, not a heart humbled to please God. Here lies the backslider. Here lies the apostate. Here lies those who are unfaithful to the Lord. It even goes so far that not only are their lifestyle, their false religious worship, they did them, but false pretenses. But not only that, get a hold of this. Look at Proverbs 15:26 on your list. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Even their very thought, because they have no holy, good thought about the Lord doing good. They are constantly planning, scheming, lying, deceiving. Their whole life is one of turmoil and rebellion to God. It's reflective in how they act. There, you should honor the Lord's Day, and they don't. You should read the Word, and they don't. They should really pray in the real sense of the word, not go through the action, the motion to prayer, but really truly pray. And on goes the list. So here lie the character traits of the wicked. All right. Point number three, I have brought into something I wanted to, that was quite surprising in my study. What I wanted to see who are the victims of the wicked and what their weapon is, their sheep weapon. That's why I didn't use weapons plural, so no need to get nervous. We're not going through them all. We're going to go through the one that seemed to be their go-to weapon. Okay, you probably should have already picked it up because we've already touched on it going through. But when you have these many verses, it's kind of hard to take the time to separate them and tally them. And, whoa, there's a pattern here. So the passage I had you for this portion is Proverbs 16, verse 27 to 30. Again, it's on your list. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A pervert man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He winks his eye to divide perverse things. He peruses his lips and brings about evil. One of the things that I wanted to really catch in when I was asking the questions, again, like I said when I taught on hermeneutics, and I encourage you from time to time, is when you study your Bible, always bombard the text with questions. Who, what, where, why, so on and so forth. And one of the questions that came up is, I wonder if God chose who seemed to be their target. Who do they hurt as a result of their lifestyle? They don't live unto themselves and just simply hurt themselves and don't have God's blessing on their life. Their choice and the decisions and action impact and devastates others. So clearly I have found that the victims of the wicked are first and foremost those closer to them, their own family. They use their self-centeredness and self-focus and rebellion against God, though they play the role of being a religious person. They're not. That's why God calls them the ungodly person here in this passage. Here we see he's ungodly, he's pervert, he's a whisperer, he's a violent one, he's pervert, and he brings about evil. The victims are their family. Victims of innocent people, people who had nothing to do with it, but he is proactive in stirring up problems and trouble and sorrow and pain. They hurt friends. Yeah, look at verse 28. The pervert man sows strife, and the whisperer separate bets of friends. They hurt their friends, whether by actions or by speech. We see they hurt their neighbors for no reason. They actually oppress the poor. They hurt the poor. They actually attack the blameless and the righteous, the upright and the just. Passage after passage, you'll find them in just these verses that I provided for you. You look at them, you can highlight them, you can see them for yourself. That too, they hate those who are upright. So the upright will be targets of the wicked. That's just who they are by nature. But one of the tragic things that I saw that disturbed me a little bit with the fact that they don't realize the one they're hurting the most is themselves. Sometimes we as Christians have a tendency to have no mercy for the wicked. They got what they got coming. Beloved, don't forget the only difference between you and them is grace. One word, grace. Grace. You could have easily been there. Oh, no, not me. That even made it a higher possibility. That kind of pride and self-righteousness is unholy and wrong and lacks humility. But they hurt the most by their choices is themselves. Proverbs 11, verse 5, the righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright. But the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. He doesn't realize that his wickedness is going to be act like a boomerang, going to come back and get him. Going to come back and get him. They will, just like we learned clear back when we started this series in Proverbs chapter 1, get the fruit of their way. They will hurt them. They're hurting themselves. They think they're getting ahead. They think their pocketbook is growing, their wealth is growing, and their power and influence, and nobody can touch them, and nobody's going to hold them accountable. What such futile thinking. And yet, how often do we as Christians sin thinking God doesn't see and doesn't know? We all need to humble ourselves before God. So clearly we see in this passage, in these verses, in this verse list, people who, for instance, the very first one, verse 27, the ungodly digs up evil. The righteous man studies to give an answer. Not the ungodly. Oh, they love to dig up smut and muck and dirt and mud, and even if it's not true. They just want it to stick long enough so it hurts the person. But you got to realize, at the end of the day, God will give them their just reward. Proverbs 11:19. As the righteous leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. So I gave you practically those who are victims. Chose not to simply read all the verses. They're all there for you to find yourself. They're there. But the weapon most often used is their tongue. Just like our verse list, we see they use their tongue for wicked and ungodly purposes. And how often do Christians gossip and slander and misrepresent people behind people's backs? And tell falsehood to give people the impression that so-and-so is like this when they are not. Proverbs made it clear that they dig up evil. Even in verse 27 in our passage here, the ungodly digged up evil and it is on his lip like a burning fire. What happens when you have fire on your lip? You're letting it out. You're screaming it out. You're hollering at the idea is they get up the evil and they can't wait to get it out. They so strive, they separate, they whisper to even separate the better friend. Even their friends are not sheltered from their wickedness. Their tongue. We see from the lip they sow discord and the gossip and sow strife and separate even friends and entice others to do wrong. They lie and deceive and they declare falsehood and perversity and evil and hypocrisy and even will say things that would destroy their neighbor when they even go to the court of law, so to speak. They won't speak the truth. They will lie and deceive. Whatever is advantageous to them at the moment. Why is this important? Why did I bring this out? Because I think the words of our Lord make it real clear. The things we say is reflective of the human heart. Our Lord said in Matthew 12, verse 34 and 5, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things?" There you go. The reason why you speak evil and the reason why you do this is you got some problems in the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good thing. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bring forth evil thing. That's why when Christians get called on for gossip, "Oh, I didn't mean it." Yes, you did, because it wouldn't have been in your heart to say it and already formulated the word and articulated the word if you didn't mean it. It's like in Proverbs, I didn't choose to pick it out tonight, but you can jokingly say something that cuts and hurt and then back, oh, I was only joking. No, you wouldn't. Your intention was to bite and to poke and to hurt. So the exhortation, when I look at the youth, how many times and often the wicked weapon is one of their tongue, constantly planning and scheming, strife and division. Boy, we see that everywhere in our world today, in our country. We see it in our media. We see it in our social media. And sadly and tragically, professing Christian played the same game, and it's wrong. So the exhortation, beloved, again, is to watch our heart. Because watching our heart is always vital for living a life that is pleasing to God. We have to watch and examine and be careful. Let's remember what we learned several months ago in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, or springs of life. So, beloved, I encourage you to take the path of wisdom, righteousness, holiness, and godliness. Shun and reject, refuse the path of the backslider, the path of the wicked. Because it all starts with turning your back on God and starting down a path that the end of life and the when you end your life facing God to give an account, you're going to wish you have never made that initial turn. That's when you wish you would have embraced him wholeheartedly and went and stayed faithful to the end. May we do that. And above all, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Words of instruction, words of wisdom, words of exhortation. Doesn't matter what age and stage we are in life, we must understand that to please you, it to always begin with the fear of the Lord, the path of wisdom, which followed godliness, blamelessness, uprightness. Oh Lord, help us to examine our hearts. Oh God, help us to realize that sin within, always lurking to overthrow and to bring it under its power and its influence. But we are to yield our members to righteousness, not unrighteousness. We are to yield, to resist indwelling sin, to say no and to weaken it and to mortify it, as Paul says in Romans. So Lord, help us to honor you and glorify you in these areas. In Christ's name, amen.